This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. A massive good evening to everyone. Today, it's going to be a really important show tonight. We've already got nearly 100 of you live waiting as we go live, which is absolutely fantastic. The story of the day, it's Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, the Blunt Blades of Sheffield United 0. Doesn't quite tell the whole story, but we've won the game. We have got 3 points. We have got, I think we had something like 5 points out the first six matches. We've got 38 points now. We've surpassed our goal tally for the whole of last season. We're pretty much guaranteed not to go down. We've got an FA Cup Final 16 game on Wednesday night to try and beat our bogey team, Brighton of Hove Albion. And of course, we're travelling to the Toon next weekend to face Newcastle United, who we've gone above today, and we are in eighth place, the highest position that we've been for a very, very long time. But also tonight, aside from talking about the game, looking ahead, picking our man of the match, having a bit of a fun with the penalty shootout quiz, we've also got a very, very close friend of mine, a nutcase, a crazy person, who just loves walking to places and he's got a massive challenge coming up in the week to raise money for a cause that is so important. And that is, of course, Manny. How you doing, fella?
Hi. Hello. How you doing? The calm before the storm.
The calm before the storm, mate. I'm telling you what. That is probably one of the you're not someone for understatements, but that is pretty much an understatement. You've got a massive week coming up, and then after that, a couple of weeks later, after you've basically rubbed out your feet, you're going to go and run the marathon as well. I mean, mate, tell people please before we get stuck into the show and stuff like that. Why do you do this? You got the flag on as well.
Oh man, why do I do this? I don't know. One day, you know, maybe I'll sit in a mirror and ask myself, why do you do this? You know, and people know the cause. Dementia UK is just, oh, man, you know, everyone you speak to, somebody somewhere knows somebody with this condition. It's not spoke about enough. So that's the charity. And why do I do these things? Because you guys, really, you donate, you encourage, you support, and you just give the energy for us to be able to do these things. So you know, I'm human, and I am human. I've got a roof, I've got a bed here, I've eaten some food, so I've made it in life. I don't need belongings, I don't need possessions, I don't need to gather stuff. So giving something back to everybody else who might not have a roof or food or might be going through terminal health is just like, it's just, it's a must. It's not like an option. It's not something we, for me, it's not something that I can get up and say, oh, shall I do it? It's not a matter of shall. We have to do it. And the more we do it, the better life gets for other people, you know. So we plod on, and plod's a good word for what's about to come up.
Mate, I'm telling you what, I've witnessed some of the things that you've done. You know, we've become, you know, really good friends over time through what we do and and everything. And every challenge that you do, you go, oh yeah, that's it. And then you sit down for a couple of months and then you're like, okay, how can I go back? Yeah. I saw how emotional you were when you arrived at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge last year, the emotion of getting there and that you let out. You were so tired. You were so like drained.
Yeah.
You hugged Shabby, your wife.
Well, this is going, mate, this is going to, obviously my mum and dad are here and they're going down to Newcastle, you know, and my sister, obviously, you know, the support fan base, you guys, everything. So this is like double the length, double the time in terms of, 70 more miles than the, but I am with my son. So, with
Jeevan. I was going to say that because you do have Jeevan that's,
I think the family have sent
that'll kind of help, I think.
Yeah, the family have sent Jeevan so dad doesn't go missing. he's there to keep the reins on me. I think he's obviously fit and he's young, but mentally it's going to be a really tough challenge for him. But if you think about it, for a father and son to do something like this, it's pretty unique. We'll need everything. We'll need physically, we'll need everything. Mentally, we'll need stuff that we almost haven't called on before, because it is such a grueling, you know, we're trying to do it in such a short time. That's the thing. A lot of these
four and a half days.
Yeah, a lot of I've seen similar challenges, and people have done it in 7 days, 10 days, 13 days, you know, breaking it up. And we're trying to do 4 days and 8 hours, something like that. It's like, it's really, really short time. So we've got to be on our feet 14, 15 hours a day, 14, 15 hours a day, every day, 4 days. You know, it's like constant. There's not, won't really be stopping, apart from, you know, if we need to use the toilets or pop, you know, which will just pop into service stations or cafes or whatever. That's the only reason we'll be stopping. Apart from that, we've just got to plod on. And the Chelsea one has stood my mind in, you know, knows what's about to come. When I study the route, it scares me, so I don't study it anymore. Because it honestly does. I mean, it's not easy. It's not going to be, but I know we'll do it. I just know. I'm just supremely confident that one way or the other, by hook or by crook, you know, we'll get to the other side. And I had unbelievable support from lots of different fans and lots of different people from who en route, you know, where we're stopping, where we're staying. And then obviously, you know, the messages, the donations. Larry Warren, Manny Sinkang, just Google me. I'm sure Dave will put the link on.
Yeah,
as well.
Can you just drop us over on WhatsApp the link again, and I'll... I'll put that up on the screen and in the chat for everyone, mate.
No problems, mate. Yeah, so, you know, and I'm just giving anyway, /MKang, M-K-A-N-G. But, you know, it is what it is. It needs help. Every three minutes, somebody new will get this condition. And, you know, Dementia UK, you can get on the phone to a nurse straight away and they become your buddy. And they give you advice, someone to go to, all those family members who start suffering because their loved one has got this condition. You know, suddenly there's a, you know, they've got 450 of these nurses now. They started with two back in 1992. And all those nurses are funded by you, by us, by fundraising, by, you know, people donating. Nobody else helps them. And we have to. I don't think it's an option. If it was an option, then we'd say, I'll do something else. For me, it's like come into my life. I think it will stay with my life until, you know, the breaths keep going.
Yeah, you, I mean, you're doing an absolutely incredible job. I'm just actually going to try and get the proper link. I've just found it, and I'll put it on the chat there for you. So, guys, listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about this later on in the show as well. But, like, let's just kick off with, you know, just obviously you know that everyone's behind you, mate, and, you know, it's incredible.
I can feel it. I feel the love. One thing for sure is the love is like huge and it drives you on. Somebody came to me today and I went into the fan zone earlier and I walked out with about 140 quid, you know, and just people throwing money at you and people telling you about their loved ones who did pass away or did or currently going through this condition. So, you know, for me, all those thoughts were in my mind. They'll be driving me on. They'll be spurring me on. And when it hurts for me, I'm going to, for me, it's just four and a half days. People have to live with this for the rest of their time, you know. So this time next week, it's all over, isn't it? So it's not the biggest, you know, I'll break it down. It's putting one foot in front of the other with a bit of pain involved. That's it.
The one thing that I'm going to encourage everyone to do that's watching this show live, watching it back on catch up or listening to it in the podcast. I'm just going to read the description. Like, it's justgiving.com/fundraising/MKang. It doesn't matter if you can afford £1, £2, £5, £10. I know some people have given lots more. Every little bit makes a difference, and it goes towards helping Dementia UK, the nurses, having a helpline, being there to provide. I've listened to a fantastic podcast recently that lady did, which really good as well.
Yeah.
So, guys, make sure you just I'll put the link up again later for you guys, because we will come back to this. But, you know, spare whatever you can. This man has got an epic journey with my son,
you know, it's a big challenge for him. You know, just a bit of background. My son was like 8 weeks premature. He weighed smaller than my hand. You know, he was 1 pound, 4 ounces, I think he was. So to think, like, from that time to this time, now we'll be doing this challenge together, you know, is a pretty... somebody says that will be amazing. I said, we'll either become lifelong buddies or we'll want to never see each other again, because we'll have spent
I was just going to say, because Jeevan, you know, is a top lad. As you say, was born premature, and he's someone that's grown in confidence as he's got older as well. So for him, I think you made a joke. It's like you walk in 195 miles to Newcastle. He used to struggle to get him to walk down the shops.
Yeah, it was like that. And the thing is, he's so excited to start and we know we'll have to really help each other and but it's I just feel the love from you guys, and I feel the love from the fans and random people that I don't even know. The messages that are coming through my phone is just, honestly, it's just gone you know, through the roof, and I wish I could reply individually to all of them, and I would love to, but all of those thoughts will be with me.
Well, that's it, and now hopefully all of those things will just help you every step on the way. Listen, donate, guys, make sure you do that. We're going to come back again on this for the end of the show. We've also going to get stuck into the show. We've also got the details on the Sofa Score app as well, which is free to download. And of course, I do want to say a big thank you, of course, as always, to Creation Wolf for powering Extra Time, local company, fantastic people who can help take your business's brand to another level. But brilliant. I'm going to bring on our other guests. We have got, he's come on, but he's black. Take him on, put him on again. Oh, there you are. there you are, mate.
My wife's been playing at the last few days, so hopefully it hangs in tonight.
Fantastic. Josh made it onto one of the instant fan reactions recently, and we've been looking for a name for him, which rhymes with Jar. We've had all sorts. What was the one that we were settling on before?
There was
Jovial Josh.
Jovial, Joyful, and Just was the last one, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think so. We got Jovial. Joy, you can't have joy, joyous, or judge Josh. So let us know in the comments.
Well, let's go for jumping Josh, because he's running all over. He's an athlete himself. Does marathons. He does all sorts of things. He does
opposite, yeah. Right outside Manager every Tuesday and Thursday night. I bet we blind him with all our bright green Shetley Striders shirts.
Yeah, all jumping. Let us know what you think in the thing. Josh, we've got Chelsea coming on in a minute, but Josh, obviously it would be a miss me whilst I got you on. I'm sure you want to say a few words about and encourage people to support Manny and the donation for Dementia UK.
Yeah, so what he's doing is massive. And I was just thinking, as you've mentioned, Jeevan. I actually remember Jeevan in primary school when he was in about year one, and I was about year five or six, because we were given in that sort of year group in five and six, we were given at a time where we had to look after a year one student at the time. And it was Jeevan and a lad called Jack. It just suddenly came into my head when you mentioned it earlier.
Which school was that man?
11 year.
Oh, 11 year. Well, you go, okay, I didn't know that, man. Oh,
yeah. It's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
We live near each other, Dave, so, it's just like, our local school.
Massive. I mean, to walk, you're going to be walking 12 to 14 hours a day is massive.
That's
unbelievable. Yes. I mean, goal deliveries, if anybody's ever done one, you only do 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
On your goal deliveries. So to do 12 to 14 hours is just massive. And for the cause, it's worth it. So if people can get down out and get doing it.
I've already had a couple of notifications, a 10-hour, and someone's just put 25 in. So,
Oh, that's amazing. See, guys, you're already chipping in and donating to Manny, just watching the show live, which is absolutely fantastic. As I say, every penny counts. And last but not least tonight, because we're doing it in one go, we have Chels, who's also recently made one of the fan reactions straight after the show. And we do have a rule on this channel. If you do come on to an instant reaction straight after the game, you have to have a nickname. And Chelsea, we were going through all of these ideas, but you've come on one, haven't you? If you want to tell everyone what you've come up with as your nickname for the channel.
Yeah, it was really hard to find, wasn't it? And I think we went with yours in the end. Captivating Chelsea, I think. It was the only one that kind of went well.
You've got a big personality. And because you were looking through all the words rhyming with C. And we've got
like negative words. I was like, which one
cheerful
can I?
Chels, cheerful
that's all
we've got. Cheerful Chris, because he never frowns. We've got okay. Charismatic Craig. So they were already gone, aren't they? Them two.
Yeah.
So in the end, there was charming was another one, but like you went with captivating, didn't you? In the end, there's all sorts of stuff. So we can't really have anyone else with C because we're running out of C words. But Chels, again, you've obviously been listening to Manny and watching what he does. What are your thoughts on the challenge ahead for him? I don't know if any of you saw last night as well. It was a fantastic gesture. Manny didn't even know why he was going there, did you, mate? You went to Television Centre. It was on Hampton Deck takeaway. There was 400 fundraisers and well-deserved. They've given you a break, a nice holiday for four people. Chelsea, what are your thoughts on this challenge? I know he's a bit crazy, but he'll do it.
Absolutely. I think it's a great opportunity to show how much influence you can have and how you can use the Wolves community to promote such wonderful causes. And I was saying similar to Josh, I remember seeing Manny at a high school that I was teaching at, like last year. And when I came to the show, I recognised you at Beacon Hill Academy.
Oh, I've been there. I've done every year group there.
Chelsea is a teacher there.
So I know Kate and Soph and Bavo and all of them.
The small world. It was amazing.
This is basically we're within a stone's throw. Me, Josh, and Chelsea.
Funny enough, that's my second. So I've mentioned my primary school, 11 year.
Is that your secondary?
Iarco, which is Beacon Hill. Yeah. Was my secondary.
Yeah. Well, I High Arkle, I remember it back in the day because I went to Coesley. I used to be part of the school table tennis team, and we were quite good, and we had a few games against High Arkle. Has it changed its name to Beacon Hill now, is it?
It's Beacon Hill,
yeah.
You know Kate from Samosa Saturday Day, Kate Walker, she's the teacher there as well.
How mad's that? That's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. Well, listen, I know we've talked for about 20 minutes, but to me, I wanted to get stuck straight into this at the top of the show. We wanted to get Manny on the Sunday before thing because it is such an important thing. And like the football is what brings us all together, and we will talk about it and we'll get into the game and we'll look ahead. But some things are more important. The one thing here on the channel that we always try to do is try and, you know, shine a light on the fantastic people that do great work to raise money for fantastic causes. And it is an epic challenge. So we wanted to get stuck into that. And we will talk a little bit more about it before the end. But Chels, I'm going to start with you. Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Sheffield United 0. Just sum that up today for us if you can.
It really was. It's a game of two halves, wasn't it? I think all of us have been hoping for a great start and it finally happened. But for some reason, we had a positive start and a lacklustre second half, which was a real shame. But I think when we started, you could see that the system was good. I was happy with the lineup. I know some people might want Doyle or Gomez, but I think either one of them really would have done a good job today. I was really impressed with Sarabia at the start and Neto. They were really positive. But it's just a shame for the second half, really, because we wanted to kind of push on. And I feel if we got that second goal, we could have took some players off and start preparing for the FA Cup game. But we just didn't use that opportunity. But I will say that a sign of a good side is that you can win when you're not playing at your best. And I'm really proud that we got that win because we can mutate that for future events.
I think that's a really good way of summing it up, because we definitely wasn't at best in the second half, mate. I mean, Josh, I'll go to you next and we'll come to Manny. You know, started well, I thought. Against Brentford, I thought we were on the back foot straight away. I thought we were really positive starting. They came out. It looked like they kind of know that we struggle against these teams and we needed to get it. We started to run out of a little bit of ideas. And then there was a beast of magic from Rayan Aitnuri. A fantastic delivery in, a great run from Sarabia, who called for it. Wonderful header, top corner, 1-0. You know, you go on from there, you think they're going to open up. We can open them up and score plenty of goals. They were fighting amongst each other before half time. But second half, we didn't get out of our own half for about the first 5 minutes. And it set the tone, and we were so sloppy. And you know, we got away with it, really. If Sheffield United had got a point or got something, you couldn't have argued against it in the end, Josh.
They'd have been over the moon with a point. I mean, I can't remember the keeper's name. I can't even pronounce it. They had that many vowels in. But he straight from the off, taking a drink in front of the South Bank, waiting 30 seconds, picking the ball up, waiting 30 seconds, putting the ball down. And he was just, they come to frustrate straight away. First half, though, like you had, I don't think we had to come out first gear. It was just coasting. Once we got the goal, it was just coasting. And I thought the players were just moving through the motions. And then second half, I don't know what went on. It was just as if, I'd like to say they were pushing forward a bit more, but they were quite far forward first half. Their defence was quite high. But it just didn't seem, they were winning every battle in midfield. Every loose ball they were winning. But I think a lot of the long balls and the corners and the long throw-ins, we've got to thank the likes of Dawson and Touty for keeping out, because the amount of headers, there was one period of about 10 minutes, about 65 minutes in, where they had throw-ins from either side, from Jack Robinson.
I mean, but the guy that was doing the throw-in, they were light corners. I mean, Sheffield United were, you know, they were very disruptive in how they played. They were different and they were throwing these balls into the box. I mean, when balls are bouncing around in your box, you're hoping that you get the clearance, but one bad bounce.
Yeah. And it lands for, I mean, the right.
We rode our luck, I thought, a bit. Mm. I mean, Manny, I mean, watching that game from, obviously, sadly, you will obviously be missing the Brighton game because you're busy.
I will. That now will be
we better get through to the next round.
Yeah.
What's your take on the game today?
You know, it was like a testimonial first half. It was like they were just not good enough. We controlled possession, didn't create a hatful of chances, but it was a comfortable 1-0 win, and you could only see it going one way if that's the way it carried on. To be fair to them, they did up their game a little bit. There was a bit more forward press. They brought a few players on, you know. And we just seemed to, like, not be able to get out. And suddenly I think we were playing a few longer balls and not just passing the ball and taking the time. Sarabia and Neto, who were so effective in the first half, just went missing, didn't they? They were just not being used in the same way. So I think it's just a little bit of, you know, when you get into a position where you're doing so well and you start thinking, oh, we're okay here. 1-0, you're never okay against any team. But I did turn around to my son and I said, 4 out of 10 would probably beat Sheffield United. They're that bad. If we do 4 out of 10, we'll beat them. Well, we beat them with 3 out of 10. So, you know, if we'd have got to 5 or 6 out of 10, we'd have beaten 2-0. 7 out of 10, we'd have beaten 5-0, because I think we are that much better.
There's, I think, not a single... how bad Sheffield United are as a team generally. Was that one free kick?
Yeah, that was just
there was such a build-up for it.
What and a then chance. It was just... Yeah, they was right on top of that time in a way. You know, that was something that we were worried about. And then they produced some of their crossing and some of their, I mean, even some of the players that they bought on, we was all scratching their, who's that? Where's he from? And, you know, I'm pretty sure some Sheffield United fans were, you know, I feel a little bit for them because obviously they sold a lot of their good players. They're only on 13 points. So, you know, for them, a 1-0 defeat at Molineux is like a win because they've conceded so many goals this season to only lose. And they did deserve a goal. They did probably deserve a point, but that's what happens in football. We got over the line and it was about getting over the line and we kept a clean sheet. And it's about, you know, no one's going to watch those highlights. No one's waiting for match of the day to watch that again. So just bin it, put it to one side. You know, hopefully there's not any injuries from today because we've got, you know, three games in 6 days in a week, which could really, really change our season. Yeah. Massively change our season. I ain't walking to Newcastle over 5 days for them to lose against them. No way. I'll be breaking the dressing room door down if they dare even lose against them.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we all remember Huddersfield. They won 3 games all season. They beat us home and away. We know that Wolves, when they go away and they play Chelsea and Tottenham and, you know, Man United, and, you know, we can play these good teams and, like, we can be brilliant. But then we play a team like, you know, Sheffield United, and we're all like, this is just the sort of thing Wolves will go and slip up. So the fact that we got the win, even though we only had 2 shots on target, I think, the entire game. I think the Sarabia was our first shot on target. And then I think we had Joe Gomez had a shot on about 80 minutes. We do struggle to break these sort of teams down. We got the goal, and maybe it was the mental thing in their head because it was like getting over a brick wall type of line mentally for them to win this type of game. And then they started to overthink and get pushed back. I also think because we were a bit sloppy and stuff, it gave Sheffield United a bit of a lift and they started to believe that they could get something, and their fans started to feel it. We started to get a bit edgy. The players started to get a bit edgy, and we couldn't really get out, and we got away with it. We've won the game. As you say, it's not been a brilliant performance, but as Chelsea says, sometimes when you're not playing that great and you win, that's what good teams do. And be honest, mate, we've played so good at so many games this year and lost the game, even though we've been brilliant, and we've come away with nothing. The Man United games, for example, both of those games, we could easily have had 4 or 6 points because the way we played in the second half and the way we played the whole of the match against United in the first game, we got 0 points out of those games. And so, like, sometimes you play well and lose. Sometimes you don't play well and you get the 3 points.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we have got is a little bit of quality, haven't we? If you think about it, we lost Neto, you know, was devastated, never suffered. We lost Huang for the whole month, never suffered, carried on. We lost Cooney and we've won both games, you know, and that's like, that is really, really good because Sarabia and Ait Nouri, that cross, that was the one moment of quality, a brilliant ball, great glancing header. And sometimes those types of turgid, horrible games, you need that little bit of quality, and that's what we've got in our team now. We've got it from all different angles, you know. So it's good day, isn't it? I mean, nobody ever thought, when I planned this walk to Newcastle, I never thought I'd be walking there with us already above us. They were miles ahead. They were in the Champions League. We were near the bottom. They were like, not even the, we weren't even the same stratosphere, and here we are above them. So the job Gazza and the team have done is just beyond our dreams, really, I think.
Well, as I say, eighth place, looking at potential European qualification as well. I mean, it's something that we don't like to talk about, but we have to talk about because we're right in the mix, Chelsea. You know, I know that I think West Ham and, or is it Chelsea, they've got a game in hand on us and stuff like that. Obviously, they lost another final today. But like eighth place, we're 1 point behind Brighton, who we face on Wednesday night as well in the league. United lost to Fulham. I think it was Adama Traore came and turned the game for them. He'd been out for a long time, so fair play to him, and he provided an assist. You know, he's 6 points behind United. You know, this team, I think, you go into most matches at the moment as a Wolves fan, thinking we can beat anyone at the moment. There is a belief, and I think the players are going in thinking, it doesn't matter who they play, they think they can beat them. Is that the general gist that you feel?
Absolutely. I think at the start of the season, if we had said we could finish eighth and maybe get into Europe, we would have absolutely taken that. And I think now we have an opportunity, a great opportunity to get into Europe, and we actually deserve it. At the start of the season, we had so many VAR decisions, which could have really, really badly impacted the season. And it has, because we would be higher in the table.
7 points higher.
It hasn't stopped the players. And I actually think I haven't seen this camaraderie within this team for a long time. You can see them. They want to play for each other. They want to do well. And it's only going to be better. And with the teams ahead of us, I don't see any reason why we can't get Europe. It's just how we manage the FA Cup and the league at the same time. We need to find that balance. And like today, if we'd scored the second goal, we could have prepared then for the FA Cup. But sometimes you're not going to have that. Even if Sheffield United is bottom of the league, it doesn't matter. They're still a Premier League side. They can still cause an issue. And we had to get the job done. And I think we'll take a win and move on to the FA Cup.
Take the win and move on. I mean, yeah, Josh, I mean, how important as a fan to you is this game against Brighton in the week, you know, and then the Newcastle game? I mean, Manny said, obviously, it could be quite a pivotal week because we can beat Brighton at home. They are our bogey team, let's face it. You know, they're our bogey team. It's like we've played so well at them in different games in the past and still not managed to win. They're a very good side, of course, but they're only a point ahead of us in the league. We're at home. We've got a chance to get to the quarterfinals and, you know, if we could draw, get a home draw, and at home, I'd fancy us to beat anyone. And then we've got Newcastle next weekend, you know, and if we can get a result against them, and we're going to have to, because, like, you know, as I say, Manny's going to have to knock the dressing room door down if they don't turn off after him walking all the way there. I mean, what are your views on these two games? Because it is a tight squad, but I don't see how Gary O'Neill's going to go weak against Brighton on...
So I think looking back on 2018-19 FA Cup run that we had, and just this point in the cup where we got the last time, we're thinking one more game and we're in the quarterfinals here. Then we're one game away from Wembley. And when you start thinking like that, you're thinking, you know what? We could go far again. If if we push for it. So beating Brighton, I think, would be massive. And then if we beat Brighton, getting a home draw will be even bigger again, because the atmosphere that we had against United in 2019 was electric. It was nothing I've never seen like anything before.
Mm.
It was a massive night that was. Just even before the game, walking to the ground, the atmosphere was bob on that day. And to relive something like that and to try and push for a semi-final and a final again will be, it'll be massive. And then Newcastle next Saturday. I don't know what to think about that one, because we've got to get a result. We've got to. But they've just been stuffed 4-0. And we've just had a dodgy second half. So the writing's on the wall. It's got a 0-0 written all over it. Sorry, Manny.
A 0-0 or it could be a 4-4, yeah, because I think it's going to be an exciting open game again. Yeah. I mean, Brighton are going to be, they're going to back themselves against us on Wednesday night for sure. And Manny, you'll be walking, or you'll hopefully be able to rest and get a stream or something, and you'll probably be.
I'll be in Huddersfield, a friend's house, so a family friend, and we plan to get there for about 8 PM, which will be around kickoff. So hopefully we get to see it. You know, for me, it's huge, and a little bit disappointed at Wolves, just a little bit tad. You know, yes, it's about the money, and we need to. But if they'd just dropped, because this week is really important, and if that, we might not play in the FA Cup at home again, because the quarterfinal could be away, and then semi-finals are. So this could be our last home game in the FA Cup. And it's like, it's such a big week, and there's so many tickets available in all areas of the stadium, because, you know, it's 30 quid. And I just thought, oh, I'm pretty sure someone somewhere is probably sitting thinking, maybe we could have, like, you know, done them 20 quid or 15, or, you know, kids for a tenner or something, just to get, like Josh said, that atmosphere at United was electric, because we knew about Wembley. But the quarterfinal might not be it. Molyneux, you know, if we get through, it might be. So this was our chance. You've got to live in the moment, and the moment is Brighton. I think it's huge, man. The FA Cup is the competition. People of my age, especially when we first started watching football, the FA Cup was all we knew about. We'd never really had an affiliation with Europe or European, or watching Champions League. All that came in afterwards. Even Premier League football, it was only the one match on the Sunday. The FA Cup was the magical thing, you know, climbing the stairs and lifting that cup, and, you know, the whole wearing your suits and all that, you know, it was a whole, and that hasn't happened at Wolves since, what, 1960, the FA Cup. So it's too long, you know, for a club of our tradition not to have experienced a final. So I hope he goes strong. I can sort of see, you know, it's going to be difficult for him, 3 games, 6 days. Will he think, shall I, you know, Bellegarde maybe as an option comes in? You know, Santi Bueno's not done bad every time he's played. Man, so he has
Tommy
got
Doyle options. Starts.
Tommy Doyle. See, those options we've just talked about, those three, don't actually weaken our side that much. So, you know, they bring different
Gilmore suspended, isn't he, for Brighton, because he got his sending off. So he'll be, he's one that's going to miss. But they've got the likes of Matoma back, who's come back as well, who's a danger man, who kind of does that Tuna thing. He runs at people. He's a danger man. Brighton, when they're on it, we've seen, like, you know, they can tear you apart. But
they concede goals as well.
Yet I do think they've got a vulnerability to them this season. They've not been able to get a clear pattern. They're not quite as confident, and I don't think, as you know, as they have been. And I think it's an opportunity personally that if we go for it and we're going with the right focus and attitude, I mean, let's face it, it's a quarter final to get through, and then you know if you get the right draw, who knows, you know, what could happen. I think, you know, every Wolves fan will be wanting him to go with his strongest possible team, and then he'll look to Newcastle and they'll go again. And I also think the players want it so bad. You saw when we were playing, when we played Brentford away in the first round, third round, down to 10 men, losing 1-0, and we managed to, they fought so hard to get it, and then they fought back, and then the West Brom result. You know, if you don't go for it, you don't get these chances. So I think the players I think the players want to finish as high as they can, and I think they want to go all the way in the FA Cup as well. Like, that's where I feel like, and I think they'll, you know, as long as they don't play like they did the second half today, yeah, I think we'll be all right.
You want to go into history, don't you? You want to be in history, and as much as we will like to remember, if you got 8th or 9th, you're going to be remembered for everyone in the FA Cup, and you're also still getting Europe. So by winning the tournament itself, if we can, it gives you Europe anyway.
Mm.
So in a way, if you want to put your focus somewhere, you can pull it there. Because I think as a fan, to watch Wolves go to Wembley again is just magical. To see them even possibly win the trophy is just a bonus. But in my lifetime, see Wolves win an FA Cup would be the dream. And I know I'm a little bit younger, but the FA Cup still, to me, is so important. It's the most exciting cup, because every single league, everything comes together, and you can be the smallest team or the biggest team. It doesn't matter. You all can win. And I don't think there's any special cup compared to the FA Cup.
I think you make a really good point, because, you know, Wolves finished 13th last year. So anything above that, where, coming from where Gary O'Neill was and the expectations at the start of the season, whether you finish 12th to 7th or 6th, you know, that's great. And that's an improvement. But getting to an FA Cup final and winning the FA Cup, you can, that's there. It's there written all the time. It's like, it's something that a season can be defined of. People won't remember generally. I mean, you will remember, because, you know, but generally people won't think, oh, Wolves finished 8th that year, but they got to an FA Cup final or they won the FA Cup. It's something that you'll always notice. I think you've got something you want to come in there, Manny.
No, I just said, you know, Chelsea's really quite right. And someone asked me, they said, would you want like top 7 or win the FA Cup? I said, what type of question is that? Of course you want to win the FA Cup. I said, that, you know, that is like, because it gets you there anyway. That does, 7th means nothing. You know, if, you know, obviously if we're out the cup, then yeah, we want to finish as high as possible and get into Europe if we can that way. And we have to aim there because we're there. We're in that position in the league. So we can't, even as much as the players want to maybe deny it and, you know, not talk about it, which is how all players act in all clubs. They all say one game at a time. There's no way so the likes of Sarabia, who's been at PSG, likes of Lamina, that's been, you know, with Juventus. These players ain't going to sleep thinking, they're thinking, well, yeah, we want to be back in Europe, man. Can we do this? They'll be thinking that as well, even though Gary will be, you know, but their own personal thoughts will have that. And they'll say, we beat Spurs, we beat Chelsea, we beat City, we beat, you know, we take these teams on and we beat them. So why can't we? We're the unexpected force. Everyone's expecting Newcastle to be back up there. Everyone's expecting Chelsea and United to do really well. Even West Ham got into Europe last season. They've got more expectations from their fans because of their achievements. We were supposed to get relegated. We can have a bit of a party here. In a way, we can go into each game and say, let's see. Let's just give it everything. And we're the, like, you know, that in the old days of the championship, you know, in our old days, that team that made that late run in and got into the playoffs. We're that team. We're that team that's just making this late run in. No one's really going to fancy us for Europe because everyone fancies us for relegation. So let's play on that, you know, and let's use it to our advantage. And sometimes no expectation is like, gives you a bit of freedom. So I don't think we should, even though personally we would want, I don't think any of us should put any undue pressure on our team. Just let them express themselves and say, go for it, lads, and we'll back you. What a season. This season's already 10 out of 10 because we expected you to be in the bottom 4 or 3. So it's already 10 out of 10. And, you know, let's see what magic you can create. And this week could, you know, end of next week, like you said, if we beat Newcastle after seeing Brighton off, wow, then, you know, then...
I'll tell you what as well, and no one really at the moment really fancies playing Wolves either. I mean, Wolves are a team that when they're coming up, you know, maybe a few teams underestimated us. I'm not sure whether Chelsea did or Tottenham did. I mean, we, you know, Chris, when I had him on the thing, they were quite confident, and I said, I'm not too sure you should be, because I can see us winning the way you play, and Gary O'Neill will come up with the thing. I think every team that got Wolves coming, or if we did get through Brighton, and I think anyone would want to play us in the next round, because we are dangerous. We're very dangerous.
and we're very dangerous on the break. I just hope we get a big team because they'll want the possession of the ball and we can just break.
Either that or we can have Coventry or Maidstone at home in the quarter final if we get past Brighton. I mean, I know it's a little bit romantic of me, but I'd love Ella Kobe and George at Maidstone get over Coventry and then to play them in a quarter final. Yeah, we'd be massive favourites and yeah, we will win that game for sure.
I put up a fight like against Ipswich.
100, but it would be such a great occasion for Maidstone and for George and for their story to finish at at Molineux, it's a Premier League team. But we've got to do the job and get through against Brighton. Right, Josh, going to go first of all with you to give us your Fox at Shifty performance rating, your Lee Moore Windows man of the match, and your own personal moment or highlight of the day. And as always, it can be a football moment or it could just be you had a really nice bag of chips on the way home.
So match rating for me, it's got to be a 6. I know we got 3 points and we're now sitting in 8, but it was just that second half that was a bit lackluster. But at the end of the day, it's 3 points and we're up to 8. So I'll take that and still give the score a 6. Man of the match is going to be Ballon Dawson, Super Craig. He's just, we're all having a jibe about him the other week about he looks like he had a poor game against Brentford and stuff. But then today, every ball that come in the box, the amount of throw-ins that Jack Robinson put in, he was heading them straight back out. And I personally think he saved us from conceding the goal today, personally. So my man of the match was Dawson. And then my moment today, although he ended up a bit unlucky for the lad, in the Disability Wolves team, there was a lad who was playing for him, who I know was in our Boys Brigade group, Oscar. He was wearing the number 2 shirt. And if anybody was watching him, about 2 minutes into him playing, he looked like he's rolled his ankle.
Oh, he looked like
It's either a sprain, fracture, or a clean break. So I'm just waiting to find out what's happened to him. That was my moment of the day. Although he ended up with injury. Still trying to wait to see what that is. But the moment of the day is seeing him come out with the disability team and enjoy what he could on the pitch at half-time.
Fantastic. Josh, same to you, Manny.
Yeah, performance, I'll probably say 5. I mean, the performance wasn't great. The result boosts the score up to 5. I was thinking 4 because I think Sheffield United were just that bad. That's all we needed today. Mark, I'm going to give it to Ait Nouri. The reason is he produced that moment. That ball was so good. Sarabia didn't really have to do anything. Sarabia is not a player in the air. He's not a header of the ball, but he didn't have to do anything because the ball was so good. The pace on it was perfect. It was curling in. It was one of those that if he'd have left it, he probably would have curled in. So it was like we were right sort of level with it as it came in. So that moment, really gave us the victory and we held out. I do agree, there was a lot of last ditch blocking, defending, heading, and just had to backs to the wall kind of which is strange because they're so shocking, Sheffield United, for us to let them do that to us. But anyway, and moment of the day, I think it's just going into the fan zone. For people who have ever been there, I think the Wolves do a really good job. The foundation fixture today, so raising funds for the foundation, and also Nuffield Health are also sponsoring the disability teams this year. Very good local organisation in Wolverhampton, and they had a tent where they check your blood pressure and blood tests. So I had my blood pressure and blood test done for free, and I'm okay. So I'm fit. I've passed the fitness test.
Fantastic. Chels?
I think for rating, 4 or 5, I think is fair. I think because we got the goal and we won for the first half, give at least a 6. But the second half is just, it kind of didn't allow it to be a 6 out of 10. So I'd give it a 5. For my man of the match, I think similar to Dawson, I think Toti played well today for a lot of tackles. And Gomez as well. He didn't do much moving forward. I don't know if that was a tactic, but there was a lot of good defensive blocks, especially in the first half and the second half. But I think Toti gets me for that one. And I think for my moment of the game, special mention to Ait Nouri, that was a wonderful pass. And like Manny said, Sarabia didn't really have to do much. It was just perfect. Place for his head, but I also think as well when Sarabia kicked the ball out for that player, when he got cramp and he showed that little bit of humanity, any other player would have just carried on.
I was thinking Michael Branch. All I was thinking was Michael Branch.
I don't trust that he had a really, really bad I don't believe his hamstring at all, but he had a little bit of class there compared to how he could have reacted.
Yeah, I think the ground at the time weren't quite seeing it quite that way. They were like, we were on the attack and got an overlap.
And when we were watching, it looked like he fell down as soon as Wolves got the ball.
I know. And then they kicked it all the way back to our keeper. How very nice of them. So, yeah, great points on regards to that. So, yeah, I mean, Ryan Aitnori, talking about Ryan Aitnori, a guy that was bombed out by Lopetegui and was nowhere to be seen, and now he's a mainstay of this team, and his close control is beyond anyone in that team. He's so skillful, he's quick, and the ball in was fantastic. Sarabia, actually... if you watch the highlights back, he points and he makes the run. He makes the pass for Ryan, but he was good enough to see it in a split second to see it and pinpoint pass onto where he was running into. To be able to do that shows the level of quality that Ryan Aitnori has, that he can just turn a game just like that. But we've seen Sarabia make those sort of runs. If you see the goal, obviously, he got against Tottenham, for the equaliser in the first game, he made the run, and Kuna made the ball into him. You know, he does make these little runs.
He gets in
the
box.
And when you're playing these sort of teams, you have to have people that make the run to make the pass happen. If you're static, and Manny, how many times did we talk about this over the last few years about movement? If you don't make the
move,
you don't make the pass.
We lost 3-0 at Man City, and that was Sarabia's first game when he came on. And he came on with 3-0 down, and he ran into the box away at City, and he got on the end of a cross, and it went over. And I just turned around to my sons. I said, "Oh, look, midfielder going into the box. We've been, you know, Neves and Moutinho, we've been used to, you know, who are midfield players. They're not box players." And I thought, "Well, he gets into the box. This could be interesting." And then he had his season went out with a whimper, a bit like Aitnori. Both of them, if they'd have left in the summer, I don't think we would have thought, okay, well, they'd never played. They were out of the squad. And now they're like first names on the team sheet type players. They're so expressive. That's the thing. When you get people allowed to express themselves and not just, we've got to keep it tight and we've got to... Lopetegui, he kept us up. He did brilliantly, but the football wasn't great. It was a lot of wins like today under Lopetegui's reign, where we had backs to the wall and we had to defend for our lives and, you know, throw our bodies on the line, and Dawson and Lamina were great and we stayed up. But those expressive players, they've come into the... You know, they've come to the fore, and that's Gary O'Neill, 100% arm around them, and they're smiling, they're laughing, happy people, mate. You know, have good days, don't they? And they're having a lot of good days. So, long may it continue. And at £5 million, Sarabia, wow, what a steal that is now.
And to be honest, and that's it. The recruitment over the last January has been a lot better. You know, and then it's getting the players. You see Chelsea, and I've been listening to Talk Sport on the way back, and that how they're frustrated. They've got £1 billion team, and someone said they're worth about £50 million at the moment, the way they're playing. And
what Gary Neville said today on the cup final, he said, because it was Liverpool's kids basically come the end of the game, and Gary Neville come out with some lines saying it's Klopp's kids versus the billion pound bottle jobs. It was hilarious.
And Chelsea is still in the FA Cup, so we never know. We might have another if we get through. We might end up playing them again. Right, so that finishes this part of the show. Towards the last 5 minutes of the show, we will be coming back on to Manny's dementia walk. But now it's time for the penalty shootout. But just before we get to that, I do want to remind people about downloading this free app, which is the Sofa Score app, the QR codes up in the screen. This is basically an app that gives you an in-depth deep dive on statistics, on teams, on players, heat maps, all this sort of stuff. It's completely free to download. Not only is it completely free to download, you don't even have to put your email address or register or anything like that. You can just use the app. And it's just a really great data source. So the QR code's there, the link's in the description. use it ourselves. But I say it can give you, it gives you deep dives on a lot of things, and it's really, really cool actually. So works on your iPad, or it works on your phone, whether it's a Google phone or an Android or your iPad. So, Manny, as you are the one walking nearly 200 miles uphill to Newcastle, you can choose first, second, or third on the penalty shootout quiz.
I'll go in the middle.
Number two. Captivating Chelsea, first or third?
Let's go first.
First, okay. So there we go. Josh, just Josh, Julius, Josh, Jolly Josh. You know,
I think I do like that, Juggernaut Josh.
Whatever it is that we end up going with anyway.
Jogger Josh, that'll do.
Jogger Josh. Bloody hell! I'm glad he's like Jogger that.
Just to let you know that I am going to be having caricatures done and stuff of everyone. And like, I've got yours now, thingy. Josh, you'll be a jogger in a Wolves top.
Running.
That's it, Jogger Josh. Fantastic. Right. Okay. So, Chelsea. You're first. You're the reigning champion, aren't you, at the moment, or something like that?
I had one win and one loss.
You had a win, didn't you? Right. So, which defender made over 500 appearances for Wolves and over 100 appearances for England? Was it Alf Bishop? Manny's laughing. Billy Wright, Bill Shorthouse, or John McCall?
Can you say the options one more time?
Alf Bishop, Billy Wright, Bill Shorthouse, or John McCall. 500 appearances for Wolves and over 100 appearances for England.
I really don't know, so I'm gonna have
a brain. You've had a brain freeze on this, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna be wrong, so I'm gonna say the only person to catch is Billy Wright, and I'm probably wrong.
That's the correct answer. You literally played us. You played us there.
Straight at the keeper and sent him the other way.
She literally gave the keeper the eyes.
That was a Panenka. She rolled the eye. Yeah.
So, Chelsea, we all know that you were toying with us. You are correct. It is.
Mine better be like that.
Right, Manny. Next up, which Wolves defender captained England 90 times? Was it Billy Wright, Bill Shorthouse, John McCall, and Derek Parkin?
Is this going to be all about Billy Wright?
Are you going for Billy Wright?
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Absolutely top corner, of course. Correct. So it is Billy Wright again. This is the Billy Wright quiz, and the answer is Billy Wright. By the way. Right. Jogger Josh. Are you happy with Jogger Josh?
Yeah.
I like that. That's pretty. That's a good one. I like it. Jogger Josh. Okay. Right. Or we could have Jog on. Jogger Josh is good. I think. Right. Wolves broke their transfer record when they signed a defender for a reported 80,000 from Huddersfield Town in 1968. Who was it? Was it Derek Parkin, John McCall, Jeff Palmer, or Frank Munro?
What year?
It was 1968.
And who were the players again?
It is Derek Parkin, John McCall, Jeff Palmer, or Frank Munro.
Ooh. I'm going to go for Frank Munro.
You're going for Frank Munro. Unfortunately, you've tried to copy what Chelsea did, Pedenka did, and the keeper's just gone, thanks very much. And
John McCall.
No, mate, keep trying. Have another go.
Derek Parkin.
Derek Parkin. Unfortunately, you do not get a bonus point for that, but which is correct. Right, so we're back with you, Chels. Okay, so one out of one, you're level with Manny. Josh is still in it, though. Which defender with 609 appearances for Wolves holds the record for any Wolves player in any position? Is it Andy Thompson, Derek Parkin, John McCall, or Jeff Palmer?
Can you say the names one more time?
Andy Thompson, Derek Parkin, John McCall, or Jeff Palmer? I know Manny knows this. I can just see looking at him.
One more time, sorry. I can't remember any of the names.
Okay. Andy Thompson, Derek Parkin, John McCall, or Jeff Palmer?
Derek Parkin?
Are you going for Derek Parkin?
She knows. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Right, she does.
Knows exactly
she's
what she's doing.
Exactly the same.
She knows exactly what she's doing. She's like proper,
basically run up, given the eyes. He thinks she's bluffing and she's presenting him again.
I feel sorry.
I'm Ronaldo. I'm winking in the camera as I walk past Rooney.
Those poor kids that have to have you as a teacher. Oh, they probably don't know whether they're coming or going, do they?
Hey, you've had so much street cred since you've been on there on the channel, haven't you?
It's really good. It's quite fun, actually.
Go on.
You've had kids that never spoke to you who've come and talked to you at you?
Yeah, it's randomly just opening my door. And saying, hi, Miss, were you on United stand? And I went, yeah. And I went, awesome, and just left.
Brilliant.
Yes. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Right, so, Manny, on the coattails of Chelsea.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Which defender was Wolves' captain? Oh, sorry. Is this right yet? Yes, which defender was Wolves' captain when they won the League Cup in 1979-80? Was it Emily News? Palmer, Derek Parkin, or Peter Daniel? Emily News. Do you know what? He's just no messing. He's just turned around and he's just blasted it into the top corner. It's just like turn around, smack, have a bit of that. Son. I'm coming to Newcastle. I'm coming to the tune. No problem.
Pressure on.
Josh, out of two for Chelsea and Manny. You have to get this correct, jogger Josh, or you will be jogging on, Josh.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go then. Two players were signed by Wolves. Oh, from local rivals, West Brom and Elvin in November 1986. Steve Ball was the one, and the other was a defender. Andy Thompson. Who was it?
Andy Thompson.
Correct. Confidently tucked away. Nice, easy question. Right. Chels.
Yeah. Here we go. All their drama. It puts
the pressure on. So, Wolves broke their transfer record when they signed a defender for a reported £1.85 million from Bradford City in 1995. Who was it? Was it Kevin Muscat, Lee Naylor, Julian Lescott, or Dean Richards?
Can you say them one more time, please? Just one.
Yes. I know you're going to ask me to do that again because you do it three
times. She's got somebody in her ear. That's why she keeps saying. She's got something in front of it. She has something.
It's Anton Deck down, in her ear.
She looks down one more time. Watch her eyes, everybody. Watch her eyes.
We're having such a laugh. Kevin Muscat, Lee Naylor, Julian Lescott, or Dean Richards?
This is a guess. Dean Richards.
Yeah. What? It. Top corner. Top yes. corner. Top
oh,
corner.
My life. She's tanking the keeper again. Third time. She's done the same trick again. Oh, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah. A complete guess. Oh, brilliant. I've literally got tears coming down my... I bet your mum and dad are rolling as well.
Oh, I can hear them down there.
Laughing. Oh, that is so... That is correct. 3 out of 3.
Brilliant.
Manny, no pressure.
Oh, but, no, carry on, man. No one's going to beat her, so...
You've got to score this. Right. Dennis Irwin signed for Wolves in 2002 and helped them win promotion to the Premier League for the first time in 2002-2003. But where was Dennis Irwin born?
Oh, born, that's even better.
Belfast, Edinburgh, Cork or Swansea?
Cork.
You're going for what?
Cork.
You don't sound very confident.
Cork.
It's the correct answer. 3 out of 3. He's cool. He's calm. He slots it away. That's cool under pressure. That's what you call cool under pressure. Jog on, Josh. You're obviously, you can't get through to the decider, but you can have an admiral.
This is your astro pay shot. This is
your astro pay shot, yeah, which someone won today, which is crazy.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that.
Well, it was going to happen a bit. I normally film it as well, and I was busy. Anyway, after 10 years with the club, Wolves sole defender, Matt Doherty, to a then reported record of £16 million in August 2020. Who did they sell him to?
Spurs.
Tottenham Hotspur. Correct answer. Correct answer. Right. So, right. Chelsea and Mane. Sudden death penalty shootout. Chelsea's been pedenkering everyone. Mane's just been turning around and going, have it, and banging him into the top corner. Right, Chelsea. Which Wolves defender played 85 Premier League games in a row for Wolves? Was it Christophe Berra, Matt Doherty, Connor Cody, or Willy Bolly?
I'm thinking Cody or Bolly. Cody? Is it?
You're not sure, are you?
I think Cody or Bolly. I'm guessing, but Cody was the captain.
She knows. She's literally pedenkered the keeper for the fourth time. he nearly bought it this time, but then at the last minute you gave him a wink and he lost his concentration and you did it again to him. So 4 out of 4. Manny, you're on to you're on to the pressure. Right. Two midfielders Two midfielders made over 500 appearances for Wolves. Who were they? Was it Mike Bailey and Kenny Hibbett? Kenny Hibbett and Ron Flowers? Ron Flowers and Mike Bailey? Or Willie Carl and Mike Bailey?
Oh, man. So it's Mike Bailey.
Mike Bailey and Kenny Hibbett.
Yeah, Kenny I'll go for Bailey and Hibbett. I can't. You know, I'm
Bailey and Hibbett, you've absolutely turned round. You've absolutely whacked it. It's hit the underside of the bar. It's bounced off the keeper's head, rolled down, hit the post, and bounced out.
Kenny
Hibbett and Ron Flowers. So captivating Chelsea retains her title with 4 pedenkers. Right, finally, before we go today, we just need to have a final word from, of course, the guy with his son Jeevan that has got 2 sleeps till crazy time starts on Tuesday, 195 miles to Newcastle in all weather conditions, 14 hours a day walking, to raise money for Dementia UK. Mate, just first of all, tell me, Dementia UK, why this charity is so important and why people just need to donate a little bit what they can.
Yeah, I started just reading up about it. You know, people say, what's your story? And my story is I just read up about it and that's it. And, you know, 1 million people now get affected by this. That's 1 million families. 1 in 2 people know somebody right here, right now. 1 in 2 people. And, you know, and why aren't we talking about it? Why aren't governments? Why aren't people really? So I just passionately got behind it in 2018. I've been with them now 6 years as a volunteer ambassador, raising funds for them in different guises and different, you know, events. And this is, you know, the latest one in the series. And it's the hardest one. It's the toughest one. It's the most manic one. It's the, you know, it's the unknown, I think. But we're ready at 5 o'clock in the morning, Billy Wright statue, and we finish at Bobby Robson. So it's the Billy to Bobby walk, we call it as well, you know. And at the statue, there's already fans who have said they'll be there. I know the Express and Star are sending someone at 4:30 in the morning because we'll get there early. You know, there's quite a few. Susie Perry's just texted me today. She's going to be there. She's getting up extra early to be there. She's like supported the event a lot. You know, fair play to her. So yeah, 40 odd miles a day. Start four or five every morning. We basically just quickly explain to people because people have said, "Where will you be?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." So we'll be walking Wolverhampton, going directly north. Through your patch, so we hit Stafford straight, and then we'll go towards Stone, jump on the canal down to Stoke, and go north of Stoke on day one to a place called Rushton. And it's a bit hilly there as well, so that'll be in the dark, those hills will. And then we'll stay overnight, and then we'll go north again from Rushton, Macclesfield, Staley Bridge, Hyde that way, and then curve over to Yorkshire and end up in Huddersfield at the end of day two, another 40 odd miles. And then from Huddersfield again north through Bradford and many Yorkshire cities, and we'll be staying just short we'll finish just short of RAF Leeming. That's where Wolves fan serves, and he's taking us down to the RAF base, and we'll be staying with them overnight. And day four from RAF Leeming, we'll be walking to Durham. Davey said, "You'll be there." And, you know, the supporter liaison officer at Newcastle, he lives in Durham as well. So he's contacted me, and he's like, "Be absolutely fabulous. Newcastle, what a club. Their supporters trust, like, you know, their supporters trust has contacted me 7 or 8 times, you know. Compared to Wolves, that's like 7-0, you know, and that's the kind of engagement they've had. They've been brilliant. Their support liaison officer, their club, so they've got it all organised. We're planning to finish on the 2nd of March at 1:30, 90 minutes before kickoff, and they've got, they've already said 13:45, we take you onto the pitch and we'll take some pictures. And then obviously we booked the hotel right next to the ground called Sandman. So we're staying there, we'll get changed. And then the challenge starts again, because after 195 miles of trekking, we've got to climb 140 steps, and that's part of the challenge. You know, Newcastle again, fabulous. They said, "Do you want a box? Do you want us to put you up? Do you want your family in there?" They were absolutely superb. But I said, no, I said, the most important thing is to sit with the fans that donate, the fans that give, the fans that encourage, the fans that, you know, "I want to be in there." You know, when you go in an away end, you don't want to sit in a box. You want to go in the away end, you know. And definitely, and my family will be there. It's quite strange. The only thing is, Wolves ticket office rang me the other day and said, "We've had an envelope returned with your address on it, and it's ripped. And have you received the Newcastle tickets?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Oh, looks like they've been lost in the post. So all our tickets have been lost. And we've got to collect duplicates from Newcastle. They're giving us instructions." And I said, "Do you think I've got time to collect duplicates?" Yeah. But they're sorting it out, so it'll all be sorted. So if anybody does get offered 4 tickets to Newcastle from a stranger that you don't know, do not accept, because they could be the ones that I've lost in the post.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah. I mean, Manny one day will probably write a book, and the story of Leeds United away, and that was bound to be in there, because that was a story on its own.
Need a whole show for that.
we would.
While the show's been on, you know, I've got my phone. I've just quickly, like, £5. £10, £10, £20, £10, £40, £10, all these being coming in. during the show, you know. So thank you to the listeners, the people who are sharing it, people who are donating. You know, as Dave says, sometimes you can't donate. We're not all affluent. We've all, you know, everyone struggles sometimes in life. So just pass it on. You know, if you got something, you give it to somebody else. You know, somebody else may be able to do something. So last night I had anonymous from the USA, $500. I don't know who it is, you know.
That's amazing. And Manny, I mean, what I'm going to do as well after the show, I'm going to make sure that the link's in the description for people to, if they're watching it afterwards, can find it as well in the link. And that will also be, if you're listening to it on the podcast, which will go out in the morning, we'll put that in the description under the podcast as well, so you can click on that. So hopefully that will continue getting some more donations. Manny, just before you go, the money, what does it go towards doing?
All the funds go to Dementia UK. They employ nurses. That's what they do. Their job, first and foremost, it's not like they're not in a lab doing lots of experiments and research. They help the here and now. There's a million people, there's a million families, and they need to get around and provide. Their mission is no person should ever be left alone to deal with this condition. So when you ring their helpline, you speak directly to a nurse, no operators, directly to a nurse. You get allocated a nurse. The nurses go to clinics, care homes as well. They become your buddy, you know, and they started with two nurses. They've got 450 now, and we want more. And every pound, every donation means that we can employ and get more people on those helplines and more nurses out into the community to help people. Because people need help now. We don't know what the future will hold, you know. Hopefully, yeah, we want cures, we want medicines, and we want, you know, those things to happen. But in this here and now, we just need to help people. People should not be alone. It's the hardest, cruelest thing to deal with, you know. If you've got a terminal illness, any terminal illness, some of the things that get you through it is when you reflect on the good times. You talk about the good times. Imagine if you forgot the good times. What do you talk about then? You know, and that's the reality of living with somebody or, you know, there's 200 types. You know, people say, well, what's the difference between that and vascular or Alzheimer's? It's all the same. Dementia is the umbrella term. And there's 200 types. Affects people in their 20s and 30s. Some of them do. So it's not limited. Some of them are memory related. Some of them are not, you know, and it takes a long time to diagnose. But unfortunately, people will die from the condition. That's how bad it is. And it causes more deaths than any other illness in this country right here, right now. And we don't talk about it enough. And the more we talk about it, the more we spread awareness, the more people will want to do something. And then suddenly that 450 will be 500 and 600 and 1,000. And more people will feel that I know where to go. I can call this number. And you know what the NHS is like. They're overstretched. When are you going to get to see a nurse or a doctor? You know, and are they going to say anything because they've already discharged you? You've got dementia. We can't do anything. Sorry. You know, these specialist nurses, they say, no, we're here for you. And so it's a really important cause. Thank you. So many people. I wish I could like read all the names out, but it would take, you know, forever. This current link that we're on, this is my second link for Dementia UK. I think it was 166,400. Together with the first link, it's just for Dementia UK alone. We've gone over 212,000 just for that charity, and which is wow, you know, never expected. 99% all comes from the fans of the football club. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts, from our family, from everybody at Dementia UK for supporting, encouraging. Dave, I know you do for a number of years, and so many others do. And keep sharing, keep inspiring others. You know, somebody somewhere will listen to this and think, tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to go and help somebody. And it doesn't have, you know, don't walk to Newcastle. That's bloody manic. Just go and help. Go to a charity shop and say, do you want a couple of hours? And I said, help. And you know, when you come back from there, yeah, you might be tired physically, but mentally, you'll be floating in the air. You'll think, wow, my life's worth living, man. I found a purpose. And that's why I do it. When I do it, I'm flying. I'm flying. You know, I feel like I'm justifying this whole role of being human. Human life isn't just about going through the motions and just collecting things, you know. I think we can make a difference with all the skills we've got, and every single person has got the same energy as me. Don't think money's special walking to Newcastle. The energy I'm using is the same as in all you three and everybody else listening. We're all the same, really, and we just need to just bring it out, use it, and it will help others. So thank you for letting me use, you know, your channel as ever, you know, spreading this, because it is more than football. And this is the reality of football today. We saw the foundation fixture. We saw the disability kids. We saw Jade, you know, clapped it in 41 minutes. The football family get together when at the times of need, and the charity work so many people do around our club is absolutely fabulous. So thank you.
Mate, all I can say is, you know, well said. And, you know, it's a pleasure, mate, because we love to support what you're doing. What you're doing is, you know, representing, you know, so many people, and you're taking all the steps with Jeevan and stuff, but there's so much love and support for you to, as you say, to help you hopefully float towards to Newcastle. And you might need to float when you get there, because going up them steps at the end, I don't know how you're going to do that after walking all that way. That's it's like, it's wearing out when you get there. I do want to just say one little thing. A few people have asked. Cheerful Chris, he had a heart attack last week. He's had a stent fitted. He is at home. He's probably watching. He's having a bit of time off at the moment.
So he's just messaged.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Oh, it is. It's just popped up. So, yeah, this is Chris, mate, who says, if you can make Peerless the Moses for me, you can do this.
Man, Chris is a wonderful guy. He's brilliant, you know, on this channel. He's just a really nice, giving human. So please get well soon. Look after your health, Chris. You know, every sign is a... He's also, you know, none of us are getting younger and things can go wrong. So just use the moments wisely and do the best you can. He's a wonderful guy. So get well soon, Chris.
That's well said. So, Manny, just finally, from all of us, you know, everyone that's watching or listening back, we do wish you and Jeevan all the very best. We know that you're probably going to go through a hard time.
Oh, man.
Mentally, getting
we're ready.
Not just the physical side of it. It's the pain that you have to go through to get there and stuff like that. But like, you do it to make a difference. And everyone, he's walking all of these 195 miles and then 140 steps. And then he's having 2 weeks or whatever it is to recover and then running a bloody marathon because he's crazy. Because that's just what you do. Pound, 50p, whatever. Yeah. If you can afford anything, the link, just click on it. Whatever you can afford, it will make a difference, and someone in your family at some point may need that help, and it'll be there for when you need it. So that's why he does it. And from all of us, mate, we do wish you lots of love to you and Jeevan. It's he's with you, and all the best, and of course always Wolves. And thanks for everyone for joining tonight, and we'll be following you literally every step of the way till you get to Newcastle, mate, and you will do it, no doubt about it.
Thank you. Cheers.
All the best, everyone.
Best of luck, Manny.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.